Hey, everybody, you're about to listen to our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. And if you like it, please do me a favor. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In exchange for that, I'm going to put you into a drawing for a $250 Amazon gift certificate, gift card, whatever you want to call it, gift credit, whatever it is these days. Anyway, all you have to do is leave that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot. Send it to Tony@nightmareneighbors.com. And then shortly, I'll be picking one person at random and sending you that Amazon gift card for $250. Yes, just leave the review, Apple Podcasts. That's what helps spread the word that this show exists, that people know about it. Those reviews are tremendously helpful in us getting this show off the ground. So if you like it, please leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at nightmareneighbors.com, and you'll be in the drawing for that Amazon gift card. I hope you like the show. I hope you can take the 30 seconds to leave the review, and I'll get yourself in that drawing for that gift certificate. Now, without further ado, Nightmare Neighbors, everybody. What do you do when you're stuck in a townhouse sharing the walls with psychos? Screaming, throwing bottles at 2 a.m. It never ends. Well, that's today on the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.
That indeed it is, 888-68-CRAZY to share your nightmare neighbor story with us, or you can write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode of Nightmare Neighbors. And how are you this fine day?
Oh, Tony, you have now given me something else to worry about. It just popped in my head.
What's that?
So, okay, I'm buying a house, mm-hmm. as you know.
Yes.
And so are you.
Yep.
And we close on the same day, which is just coincidental, which is kind of funny.
We're not married.
No, we're not married.
That's the other co-host.
It's just weird. Anyways, So buying a new house, I don't want my house to be haunted, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, I really don't want to live next to shitty neighbors. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, crap.
Show prep.
Did I just buy a house next to shitty neighbors? And there's a guy across the street who's come over a few times. Mm-hmm. But I think he's okay.
Yeah.
Because in my head, he's kind of like Mr. Kravitz.
Yeah.
Like Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched.
Sure.
I think he's that guy, keeps tabs on everybody in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I'm okay with that.
Sure.
Because somebody breaks in my house, he's at home all day. He's retired.
Yeah.
So that's okay. But... So I'm thinking, is there somebody around? But he knows everybody. He's like, so-and-so lives in that house, and right mm-hmm. there's Christy, and her husband passed a couple of years ago, and she's got a handyman if you ever need one.
And he's handy, if you know what I mean, for her.
Wink, wink.
Now that she's single.
Wink, wink. But now I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, oh, I hope I don't have any of those neighbors.
Or is he trying to recruit you to his side because there's a neighborhood war going on and half of them are on one side and one's on the other, but Mr. Kravitz got to you first. So now it's a test of your allegiance. Are you going to go with the man who took the time to introduce you to the neighborhood in a kind way? Or the lady who was 3 weeks late but delivered zucchini bread? That's on the next Nightmare Neighbors. Yeah.
I can't say I'm a fan of zucchini bread. Maybe if it was banana bread.
It's the thought that counts.
Oh. Yeah, because she brings me zucchini bread. And then Mr. Kravitz comes over with his banana bread. I'm like, man, how does he know everything about me?
And then Tim and Jenny from next door bring pot brownies.
They win.
Tim and Jenny happen to be the ones that everyone in the neighborhood hates. But hey, they have pot brownies.
It's like, I didn't even know they were noisy. I'm so relaxed, I don't even care.
And that's how it works. So, no, it's something.
Yell at each other all night, but here's some pot brownies.
We have determined that we're not telling people what we do when we move, because every time we do, when we say, you know, hey, we do a ghost show, we might as well be saying we do porn in the backyard, because people are just like, okay, you know, and then I try and I don't like explain it in some sort of scary way where it's like, and I do a ghost show and I talk about the dead for hours on end and I investigate their stories and I ask questions to determine where are they on the other side.
See, that's what I think is so weird. Like, if I had a neighbor who made a living doing podcasting,
yeah,
I'd be like, that is so awesome.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even think anything about that. I would think that's really cool. I'd be wanting to know if he needed a co-host.
Well, I think it's the topic more than it is the concept of podcasting. Because there's a couple of people in our neighborhood, actually, that do podcasting. There's a gentleman who does all the wine buying for Walmart, and he's does a podcast about wine. I've even talked to him about going on the show, but then COVID happened, so... And I stopped drinking, so 2 and 2 probably wouldn't work well. But it's more so like, oh my God, they talk about ghosts. And the way I explain it is not in that dramatic way. It's just simply, because they're like, well, what's the podcast about? I'm like, well, I have a whole bunch of them. I said, some are about ghosts, and some are about, this is before we were doing the Neighbors podcast, so you probably don't want to say you're doing a podcast about nightmare neighbors to your neighbors. so it was like office horror stories and murderers and true crime and that sort of stuff. And a ghost, what do you mean? They go back to that. And it's like, well, it's like a morning show that talks about ghost stories. So people call and write in their stories, and then we just kind of talk about it and, you know, makes, you know, kind of lighthearted, you know, approach to it where we just listen to people's stories and just kind of let them out alone. And it's just interesting to hear everybody's experiences. And that's how I said, I don't go investigate. I'm not out there, you know, with a black shirt and a flashlight, you know, talking to the dead. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but that's just kind of how you got to explain it, because, and even with that explanation, we still had, you know, our experiences here where people were like high school making fun of it. So it's like, I get it. It's going to take a while before we admit what we do to anybody, you know, until we kind of get to know them. So they know we're not like, you know, worshiping Satan in the backyard. Yeah,
and you know, you might try this. Tell them that you are making porn in the backyard.
See how they go with that?
Then see if they run away. And if they don't, be, actually, we really just have a ghost podcast and a couple others. And they'll be like, oh, that's so much better than porn.
Yeah, fuck. And this, in the neighborhood that where I'm in right now, that we're about to leave, if I said we're making porn in the backyard, they might be like, can we, you know, my wife come watch? You know, they come out with some sort of weird fetish shit. It's like, get the fuck out of my house. So, yeah, it's, I think it's, you got that sort of shit going on in here, or it's like Stepford Wives, or I don't know. It's fucking weird. Eyes wide shut. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number at Nightmare Neighbors to share your Nightmare Neighbor stories with us, or to go to our website at nightmareneighbors.com. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I've lived in the same townhouse for 6 years and have had 3 psycho neighbors in the same unit next to me. First was a crazy mother and teenage son who she would physically assault, and the cops would have to come and break it up. She was an absolute lunatic and would throw a glass at the wall while screaming at 2 a.m. The cops were at the house a lot, and I'm surprised when the son did not leave. She used to lock him out of the house during a Canadian winter, and during storms, he would be pounding on the door upset. Then it was this creepy guy who I seriously believe was either a serial killer or some sort of sexual predator. He was usually so high in cocaine, so he would be up for 5 or 6 days straight playing loud music all night. Or he'd move the bedroom around and put up a treadmill against our shared wall. I was not a fan of waking up to someone banging on a treadmill at random hours of the night at high speed. Eventually, I started calling the cops every time I got woken up, and I think he got sick of it eventually, because it all stopped after he was confronted by police about being on drugs. He yelled at my neighbors that I was the crazy one and that I lost my daughter because I am unfit. She was standing next to me at the time. At by the time the police showed up, it was time for me to take her to school. So the police obviously knew he was full of shit. The cops knew him by name from the bars downtown, and he was in his 50s. As I was getting my daughter in the car, he made the motion with his finger across his neck, which I perceived to be a threat. The cops saw it, and I reported to property management. He never bothered me again after that, and I was never woken up again. He moved out this past December, and the lunatic that bought the unit is even worse than him. On her phone, arguing with people every night between 1 and 3 a.m., rearranges all the bedroom furniture every single Saturday morning, lets her loser friends park in our parking spots, and tells us to fuck off if we say something. She slams a patio door so hard that anything hanging on our shared wall has fallen on the floors, on both floors. Basically, I've had to pull everything a foot away from any shared wall for safety reasons, and nothing can hang on the walls anymore. Her dog uses the upstairs balcony as a bathroom, so if I open my windows, it smells like dog shit. She also has a barbecue on the balcony, which is illegal, and she refuses to listen to property management or the owner's council. My uncle, a fire captain, confronted her about it, and she slammed the door in his face. The fire department has demanded she remove it, and she will not. I'm at the point where I'm pretty petty right back. So I slam the doors hard right after she does, and the slamming seems to have reduced a little. If she's out arguing on the phone outside during the night, I open all the windows and blast my TV on full volume. Growing up, we had this weirdo neighbor. Our front door was on the side of the house in the driveway, and the neighbor's kitchen window looked into our front door. The wife used to cook God knows what, and it was so gross. Anyone walking up the driveway would start gagging. It was a mix of rotting meat and cilantro mixed with dog shit and diapers. Even friends coming to knock on the door would gag and ask me how we lived with that smell in our driveway. My brother, who was basically Bart Simpson, twisted up ketchup packets and threw them at their kitchen window, so they exploded. The dad ended up coming to the door, hammered out of his mind, hiccuping like crazy, and instead of telling my mom what happened, started to stare at her chest and basically told her he wanted to sleep with her in front of us. It was so disgusting. Their equally weird son's bedroom was in the basement, go figure, and the window was in our driveway, too. He played the song Yellow by Coldplay for 2 years straight from dawn to dusk. To this day, I hate that song more than anything else. The same house, we had another weirdo directly behind us. My mom built up an 8-foot fence around her backyard by herself because she was like, holy shit, our neighbors are deranged. The guy behind us used to hit on my mom as well, in between his ramblings about seeing UFOs hovering over his house and how the government was spying on him. One night he woke us all up with this hammering. My mom went outside and he was nailing sheets of tin foil to the other side of the fence in his yard. My mom told him to knock it off and he freaked out, saying that radio waves were installed in our house by the government, so I needed to make sure they couldn't penetrate our fence into the property. My mom basically told him if he so much touched that fence again, she would have him committed. He kept to himself after that. So there you go. That's quite a lot to unpack. It was like current day personal stories, then kind of jumped on over to flashing back to the past. And I think there's even a little bit more on there that we can unpack, but I'll stop there just because there's so many things so far.
How?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so the last guy, like paranoid schizophrenic, probably.
Yeah.
Like, I get that. That guy has a mental illness. Mm-hmm. And usually you can't just say, cut this shit out, and they stop.
No.
Because them,
it's not how that works.
This is a life or death situation.
Yeah.
So that one is scary as it can be, I get that, kind of. But what I don't get are those neighbors who are just shitty.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to move your furniture every morning, and you don't, you know, just being like blaring music all the time. I'm like, there's other people who live here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I don't get, like, with people like that, don't they ever think, you know, it's a little late, and I've got 30 people over here who are smoking weed and jamming.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should call it a night.
I don't know what that is.
They don't think of it like that.
Not at all. And I don't know where that develops.
Self-absorbed.
How does that happen? Because it's not like every 21-year-old or 18-year-old thinks that way. I mean, I was like, I mean, I know I'm kind of an odd duck, but, you know, at that age, I was very concerned about making too much noise. And if I did get a call or if somebody knocked on my door, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean, you know, and I turned it down. I really...
Well, I will say, back in the day when I was younger, once the cops showed up, I would turn it down.
So once you got that, then you were good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, just... Like, some of that's just ridiculous when it's night after night after night after night after night. And it's, you know, there's other people living there who have kids. And
I have a great story from when I was younger where the cops were called. And this is so, it's absolutely crazy. It's totally me in this story. You'd be like, who did what? So... I was about 22 at the time, and my best friend was about 19, and he had his brother, too, who I think was like 17 or so, and what they wanted to do was have a night where they had like a nice dinner for their girlfriends. And it was at my friend's house, who was 19. He was renting a, I don't know what it was, like a townhouse type deal. And so he knew I loved cooking and that I did all this stuff on the side just for fun. And he said, hey, can you come over and can you cook for us? And because I know you love doing it. And this kid was also my intern at the time, too. So he's working left and right for me and doing all sorts of crazy shit for my show. So, like, yes, I'd be happy to come and give you guys a nice dinner because they wanted to impress their girlfriends. So get it all set up. And, you know, I got their tablecloth. I got, you know, and again, it's at his house. And they obtained their own wine. I did not get it for them, but they obtained their own wine. And then I did all the cooking and everything. And so I had this, it was really nice. It was not a loud, raucous teenage party. It was like a 5-course dinner at a nice restaurant with like Kenny G playing in the background. Well, I guess somehow, some way, we upset a neighbor. And I don't know how, because we were not, it wasn't like, let's do beer pong and shots. It was just like, small dinner party where we're just kind of talking and mingling and hanging out, and then they make them their dinner, and all of a sudden knock on the door and it's the cops. And I'm like, holy shit. Because number one, I'm hosting the number one top 40 morning show in the market. And this is my intern that I'm at his house, and there's alcohol involved, and there's technically minors there. So it was like, oh my God. And I'm 22, so I'm the only one of age. So cops come and they see, like, you know, candles lit and like this nice dinner plated and Kenny G playing. So they're kind of like, what's going on here, guys? And they're like, we're just having a dinner with our girlfriends. And I'm hiding in the bathroom in the back because I'm afraid I'm going to get like busted for like providing alcohol to minors or something, even though I didn't, I'd be the one that got busted. And is anyone else in the house? They're like, yeah, our friend's going to the bathroom. Can you come out, sir? I'm like, sure. So I come out and I'm actually wearing my chef jacket. Because when I was cooking at that moment, I was taking it seriously. And like, what's going on? I'm like this is a friend of mine. And he asked if I said I have some culinary training, and he asked if I come over and cook these guys dinner tonight. So I just, you know, I said he does a lot of extra work for me. And I just, you know, just a, you know, thank you type thing. And OK, well, keep it down, I guess. Are some of you underage? And they were honest. And it was like, oh, shit, here we go. And they just said, you know, you shouldn't be drinking. They didn't do any tests or anything, but it was like, oh, fuck me. Cause it was one step away from, well, who are you? And then, you know, morning show of the top 40 host arrested for providing alcohol to minors or some bullshit, you know, because I made a nice 5-course dinner for my best friend and his girlfriend. You know? And of course you'd be thinking like, you know, crazy bong party. And it's like, nope.
That's... I love the fact that that happened to you though.
It's just so fucking crazy.
It's like the stories that I have when the cops were called are very different.
Yeah.
It's like
young Frasier. It's like Adventures of Young Frasier. You know, it's really what it is.
That's exactly what that is. And then here you are just cooking a nice dinner and somebody calls a cop because your Kenny G was too loud.
I know. It's like, there you go. That's my
damn
life.
Kenny G haters.
I'm sorry I played Silhouette so loud. I just love that song.
Oh, my God, I have tears. That made me laugh.
This is my
life. I
just have
this vision of young Tony.
Yeah. Well, hell, it was about a year before I met you, so that's where I was in my life. It was right at that time. I left that job, and I met you about 6 months later, if not less.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Thank you for sharing.
Yep, no judgment. That was my life.
I'll share stories with you, but not today.
I think the ringtone on my phone at the moment was the Sex and the City theme too. So that's just adds to it at what was going on.
That's funny.
Yeah. 888-68 crazy is our phone number here at Nightmare Neighbors. Like, what show are we doing today at the Nightmare Neighbors podcast? NightmareNeighbors.com, the website, by the way. And if you've not done so yet, be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. Press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the program. Also helps us grow in the rankings. If you can, Apple Podcasts is where a lot of the listenership comes from. It's just the way it is. And leaving a review over there helps us tremendously. Just a few words of kindness would be greatly appreciated if you enjoy the program, so others discover that we are here. Let's go to another letter. It says, my son and I moved into our apartment at the end of December. When we first got there, it was perfect. The neighbors seemed nice. The location was perfect. Our apartment is one of three spaces rented out of a house. We're in the basement level. There's another younger married couple above us who have a small dog. And above them is what we think is two older people. Their son, who is around our age, and they're two large dogs. I say we think because we always see different people coming out of there, and there's a lot of mail that gets delivered to the house that isn't to any of the people who we've met. We each have our own separate living spaces but share the laundry room in the backyard. At first, the third floor neighbors were fine. They were friendly enough and picked up after their dogs in the yard. After the first few weeks of us living here, however, they started picking up after the dogs less and less. And now the backyard is just filled with dog feces. It's getting hotter, so the smell is pungent. As soon as we walk through the gates, we can smell it. If we go out into the yard, we must watch where we step because it is everywhere. There are also dozens of flies that come around and sometimes get into an apartment if the door is open too long. We do not know what to do because since we're young renters just starting out, we do not want them to use that against us. There was also one incident a few months back where my boyfriend tried to use fiberglass to mold something. He's a sculptor. The woman from the third floor came to our door and complained about the smell and how it was super smelly and asked what we were doing. He did not even try to use it again, but ever since then, they always give us nasty looks and are not as friendly toward us as do not really let us play with their dogs as we used to. It is not that we were rude to her or anything. It was just one incident, the smell. We just do not want her to try to use this against us if we try to speak to the landlord about it. Another incident that happened the other day was either they, third floor or second floor, cleaned up one pile and put it in a garbage bag and left it at the stairs that lead to their house. This is where it's been for 2 days now because they've not thrown it in the garbage. They've just left it there. We're at a loss for what to do and could use some advice if you have any. Any thoughts on what to do with the rude people and their dog stuff?
Well, it sounds like an apartment building.
Yeah.
And I think you could file a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they're going to go knock on their door and say, hey, your neighbor in 201
yeah.
says blah, 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 blah. I think they could address it in an anonymous way. But the thing is, the whole dog thing and not picking up after pets, like most apartment complexes have some rules against that.
Sure.
And that's pretty easy to figure out who's doing that shit, pun intended.
Yeah.
But I think I'd report him.
I think that they should too. I also, however, feel that a person who does not do that, it's the equivalency of, okay, turn your windshield wipers on when it's raining and your headlights, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. Where, and that's a joke amongst us in radio, because whenever it's foggy or raining, it's, we have to say, turn on your lights and your windshield wipers. And, you know, I don't know how much it helps. You know, I think with,
it's the law, yeah,
like with automatic headlights, I get how you can kind of forget sometimes, especially if they're not sensitive. But so many cases, it's just like, Jesus Christ, like, what is it going to take here? You know,
but most communities, if you have a pet,
yeah,
you are supposed to pick up after your pet.
Yeah.
Or like, how about you put a doggy bag thing, like dispenser.
Make it easier.
You know, but, or can you go to them? Here, I will buy the doggy poop bags.
Yeah.
Can you give that to them? But because you can't interact directly with them.
Yeah.
You can't. And, like, people who don't pick up after their pets, that just pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know, be responsible.
Yeah, I think there's some folks, and it's a very small percentage, where maybe they're super young and it's a learning curve and it's their first dog. Maybe they don't even know. You know, honestly, I didn't know what the rules were the first time I had a dog either. But I asked about them before I took the dog for a walk, and then I knew what I was supposed to do. But for most, if this is like your MO, that's your MO. And I think even getting caught, they just kind of learn, I'm going to go on a different path where I'm not going to get caught. Like I said, it's as hopeless as convincing someone that, or needing the verbal reminder every time to turn on your headlights and windshield wipers
when it's right raining outside your front door.
Yeah, they don't care.
And there are flies coming in.
Sure, they don't care. I mean, the people who left it don't care. That's the thing. It's just, it's not my problem. And it's this lovely way of looking at the world, or not looking at the world outside of your very narrow tunnel vision of what's in front of you. And that's just how some people are. And that's where the rest of us have to learn coping mechanisms to deal with it.
Like, I'm so, like, tonight I'm walking my own dog and it's raining and he won't go outside.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you have to. He doesn't really want to. And he took a poop in my front yard and I got out my doggy poop bag to clean up. And I'm like, wait, it's my own yard. This is okay.
Yeah. It's,
I would say something. I would.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's just,
because if you don't, then they just get away with it.
They do.
And if nothing happens, if you're in an apartment, chances are it's a 6 or 12 month lease.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that your apartment's nice and clean so you can get your deposit back.
Yeah.
No. But hell with that.
It's one of those things.
I'm too damn sure than to have to smell somebody else's dog shit.
One of those things. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number, or you can write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Another letter, it says, how do you drive out a crazy neighbor? Our neighbor bought the house next to ours a year or so ago and is constantly parking his cars on our property overnight or for days. He's never asked for permission. We keep asking him to move them and he keeps getting angry and yelling at us. He also wrote an angry message on the side of his house in Sharpie. I am not making this shit up. He left it there for months and stopped talking to us or even waving hello. He finally painted over it months later and started being friendly to us. Then he blew up at us again just the other day. He yelled at me about how we have so much room and they have so little, and how he's going to just keep parking on our property and letting his friends park there. He has 5 parking spots on his property and a 6 in his garage. Plus, there's street parking. We also have 5 parking spots on our property and a large shop that can fit 3 cars. Yes, we have more room than him. I wish we had a neighbor like the one who owned the place before and never parked on our lot unless he was just unloading something or working on his house. What do you do with someone who feels entitled to use your land and gets mad at you about it? I do not want to start a war and have him towed, but I'd love to get him to move away.
That's a toughie.
It is. I think just being firm and really every time he's out there, go out and ask, and maybe give yourself a limit and say, after five times, you know, the fifth time it's, you know, I'm not going to ask you again. You know, I don't want to get into a war with you. I don't want, and just lay it out there like that. Like, I respect you. I hope you respect me enough to understand that this is a concern of mine. Please don't park on my property. This is the last time I'm going to come ask you to please not do this. And don't threaten. Don't say I'm going to call the cops.
You're also thinking this person is going to be reasonable. He's not. Yeah. He wrote on Sharpie.
Yeah.
He wrote on his house with his Sharpie.
I think there's mental illness certainly involved in this individual. But, you know, all you can do is try and handle it the right way. Handling anything like this the wrong way is nothing but a ticket for your ass getting in trouble for something that you really didn't do or should have no fault in. But they're going to view it as this petty neighbor conflict where both of you are doing things violating the law or violating some sort of standard. And you just don't want to go there. Always be the one on the better side. You know, unfortunately,
But what sucks is that you could be the one having to spend the extra money to put up additional fencing or gates or something.
Yeah, it sucks.
Sometimes that's what it takes. Because I talked to somebody once. There's a house here in my town that the guy, I think, is doing all the work himself. And has been doing this, I would say, in the 10 to 15 year range.
Wow.
It's not in my neighborhood, but it's probably 2 miles from me.
Yeah.
And I drive by that house frequently. So I wish I could remember what the sign said. But one day I'm driving by and he had this really big sign that he had painted, like, "Don't mess with my kids" or something like that. Jesus. I don't remember what it was, like about neighborhood bullies or something. And it was big.
Yeah.
Like, it made the paper.
Yeah.
And so it was this big sign. So one day I randomly meet the person who lives across the street from him in a very nice historic home.
Mm-hmm.
This home is designed by one of Frank Lloyd Wright's students.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So this is a really nice home. And she sold her house. She couldn't deal with him anymore.
Wow.
She's like, it's constant. Because I said, okay, so what's up with your neighbor? You know, he made the paper.
Yeah.
And so when I brought that up, the floodgates. And she's like, I just can't. She ended up selling the house.
And it was a
beautiful house. I got to see it just randomly because I knew someone who was taking like house sitting.
Yeah.
And so I got to like take a tour of the house. It's a gorgeous home. But so it's like a nicer neighborhood.
It doesn't matter. This shit happens in every type of neighborhood. And I'll attest, you know, I've lived in it all. And there's crazy fuckers everywhere.
I'm just concerned they're living next to a crazy fucker.
Yeah. And that's the thing that sucks. You know, I say earlier, you know, and I'm sure there's plenty of people saying it's easier said than done. And you're exactly right. It is. Where you say, you know, try and take the high road. And I will always stick with that when it comes to these things, because, you know, you do one thing wrong, they'll sue you. And then you got to fight back to them. And they know it's a losing proposition on your end because it looks like you instigated something and now you're the one coming back with, well, they did this, and what they're going to do, because they know it's not going to go to court. They're not going to spend the money on court fees, but they got, you know, basically the version of Better Call Saul is their attorney, and they know you're going to settle for some amount of money that you have. And that's the scariest proposition there. If people know that you may have a little something, that they'll go after it. And for the dumbest shit. So you got to always be careful and really watch, like, oh my God, you know, and it doesn't even matter sometimes on money. It's just more so if you have insurance. It's just, will their insurance company pay to make this go away? And that's, you know, that's the crazy shit that you got to watch for, because it's out there. but
yeah, that's tough when the, you know, if the neighbor's writing on his house with a Sharpie.
Yeah, that's just.
He really doesn't give a shit about your property because he doesn't give a shit about his.
No, and that's what you got to look at, that perspective, the mental capacity and the mental aspect of what's going on. If somebody is actively destroying their property despite you, you know, it's like someone that's doing self-harm and then wondering why they may hurt other people or why that possibility could be there. It's, you know, well, they're not at a very good place right now, and they need help. And, you know, unfortunately, getting help for folks who need help is a lot easier a thought than in actually being something that's executed. Not that people don't try or want it, but it's not an easy proposition in many cases, especially as an adult. So.
And I think, too, like, sometimes you call the cops, and that just aggravates it.
Yeah, because there's only so much they can do.
It's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, there's only so much the cops can do. Not that they don't want to do something. You know, half these people that they're constantly revisiting, they'd love to haul them away. And so they're not constantly being a nuisance to everyone. But they can't. There's no, you know, there's only so much they are allowed to do. And then unfortunately, what it takes is that one person doing something super crazy, and that's what gets them away for a long period of time. But we wait in our world until they do something super crazy before any sort of real true preventative, you know, maintenance is done. We're not like mandating, okay, you're doing these things. The judge really thinks you need mental health care, and you're not going to be a free person unless you get it. It's more like we suggest you do this and it never happens. And then shit goes crazy. You know, it's very broken on how we end up handling things to, you know, affect problems. So that's my
soapbox.
Some
of it too, like I've seen that show on TV. On ID about the crazy neighbors like doing extreme things.
Sure.
You also don't want to get to that point.
No. Is there a show on ID about neighbors?
Yeah, it's like Deadly Neighbors or Neighbors Who Kill.
Oh, no shit.
It's one of those. It's not that.
I gotta watch
it. Something like that.
Wow.
But it's like neighbors who have killed their neighbors.
God.
Because of shit like that.
Yeah. It's like, I have to watch my mouth.
About it.
Yeah. You just don't know what you're dealing with. I watch my mouth way more than I ever used to, you know, just because I still spout when I feel things are being wronged. Like I said, you know, with the guy littering and peeing on the tree, but there's many things I just let go now. Cause it's like, nope. Not worth it. Not worth it. Just, you know, because you don't know.
If the guy's parking in your, like, he has plenty of parking. Like, yeah. Who needs 11 spaces?
No, they. Something.
I wish, like, I mean, that'd be awesome if I had that many people over my
sure.
house sometime. But I'd be super popular. But I mean, I never need 11 spaces at my house.
No, you got to try it calm, and then if that doesn't work, then I'd say, you know. Is it worth it? If it's worth it to you to get the authorities involved and possibly agitate the situation more, do it. But
maybe talk to him and say, hey, you know, if you do, I get it. If you have a party and you need some extra parking, could you let us know? Or we're going to put up a barricade and keep you out.
You know,
I don't know. It's just tough.
You know, it's funny because sometimes people are so skittish, and there's probably a reason why this individual hates others so vehemently. He's probably been wronged so many times, or he's wronged people. However, whatever it may be. But there's a barricade there, and he's not going to let himself be open or vulnerable or kind or nice to this neighbor. It's just going to be my way or the highway. Sometimes with people like that, the only way to really get through to them is to show them that you're not out to get them. You're just there. You know, you just want your space respected, but you respect theirs completely too. And in an earlier part of the episode where some neighbors are talking about like bringing chocolate chip cookies and stuff over, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But sometimes just the gesture of, oh my gosh, this person thought enough of me, even though I've been kind of a dick, to bring me chocolate chip cookies and make this request, you know what? I'm going to respect that. they're really, they have a good heart. They mean well to me. And sometimes it's like a scared animal. It's like an abused animal that they just need that little push, that little, you know, shown bit of light that this person's not evil. This person's not out to get you. And even though you've never shown that that is your personality, try it. You know, go down that road, give that a shot. If that doesn't work, you know, some people you're just never going to get through to. But I'm always saying, try and exhaust the options before you have to go to the nuclear option. Don't just jump on nuclear. That's how I think we have so many problems we have today, because people just go to extremes immediately and then it just ping pongs itself and everybody's full of hate and, you know, let's bring out the pitchforks and destroy, destroy, destroy without ever hearing anyone's story or understanding where they're coming from and why they're there. And so that would be my thought on how to handle that. Maybe some cookies will make it better. If not, fuck them. So, there you go. If not, snakes in the backyard. That's the next solution. No, I'm kidding. Don't ever do that. Don't ever put snakes in someone's backyard. That's a bad idea. But a fun one to think about at night when you're going to sleep if you're looking for nice, restful things.
Thanks, Tony.
I'm Delilah, and here's Stevie Wonder. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Nightmare Neighbors. If you have a story, share it with us. NightmareNeighbors.com or call in 888-68-CRAZY. We would love to hear it. Press subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Let your friends know we exist. Apple podcast reviews are greatly appreciated. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.